Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, February 26, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Terabytes presents the Terra Luna News. LFG buys Bitcoin, Nebula White Paper, hackathons, and more. Let's take a listen.
Hey, morning everyone.
How you doing, Joseph?
Doing just lovely. It's a great Saturday.
It is a great Saturday. Let's give a little bit of time for some people to file in here. Maybe we'll get some more listeners. We started doing these. This is the second week that we've done this. Saturday mornings for those of us on the East Coast in the US. This is basically just a more informal way to break down the week's news, get your weekend kicked off the right way. I know some of you don't have lives outside of Terra Luna, so you got nothing better to do on a Saturday than listen to the smooth sounds of Terabytes. But yeah, we used to do happy hours on Fridays, and it was a cool way to talk about the news and go off the rails in some circumstances, which we will tend to do in this format as well. So for those of you that are listening and for those of you that enjoy this, just know that every week we will be here and we're going to be following along with the tweet sort of wrap up thread from Casa Intern, the latest and greatest member of Terabytes, who is going to sort of lead off the discussion and the topics here. Obviously, there was some big news this week, the biggest one of which was the Luna and, the LFG, the Luna. What the hell is it? What does LFG stand for? Luna Foundation Guard?
Yes.
Yeah, so LFG raised $1 billion, which, as far as I know, is the largest raise we've seen in the crypto space, with backings from people like 3AC, Three Arrows Capital. Jump obviously was in there, Defiance. So some pretty big names, and a nice shot of confidence to see these people put their faith in Luna, and not only put their faith in Luna, but to basically sell Bitcoin, which is the apex crypto asset, in order to acquire that Luna, and not at like low prices either. I think I saw somebody was saying like they got it at 51. I know there was like a, whenever they went to purchase it, and this is me speculating, but there was some speculation that it was going to be like a trailing average price, was going to be like the final sale price. And I saw people saying that it was 51, and we were under 51 for, I think twice we bounced up and down under that range. So it's not like there's this huge subset of investors and whales that are sitting around on super cheap Luna. They're at a pretty pretty solid price, 51. You know, if that's the floor and the worst of the bear market, I'm pretty excited about that. I think that's, you know, that's a great place to be. Anyway, I guess, you know, we've already begun diving into it. So let's just talk about it. Joseph, what do you know about the big deal, the Redacted 3?
Yeah, so Redacted 3, you've already kind of mentioned it, is kind of just going to be a testament to providing a floor price, or just essentially a backing and a hardcore foundational Forex reserve for the USTPEG. And I know Seffy has been covering this throughout his spaces and just throughout the week. And there's been an interesting little bit of a volume floor that we've seen that has occurred there. Because all of these VC firms that have executed these purchases of Luna at like $51, we're basically going to continuously see them repurchasing Luna if we were ever to go back to those lower levels. And they're obviously not going to be creating that massive amount of purchase of Luna for a simple little 2x or 1x. This is going to be a long-term hold. They have a long-term vision for the Luna price, and they're just not going to dump it on all of us. And I think that the leading edge of this entire news story is that it's going to essentially decimate the death spiral narrative. Is there still an infinitesimally small chance that a death spiral can occur? Yes, of course. But this reserve makes the likelihood of that event and the likelihood of the bank run event much, much lower. Overall, I think it just boosts the ecosystem's just strength and resolve.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of and I want to cover a little bit of the death spiral and like what exactly does that mean, and a lot of tweets from the LFG and tweets from Taro and their explanation of this so far was talking about like the reflexivity of UST as a stable coin backed by Luna. And you know, it, there's like all these fudsters out there, right? Usually they're cough, cough on the payroll of some other stable coins out there, but they always seem to have the same FUD, which is like this, you know, it's not backed by anything. It's, you know, at least for Tether, we can go and swap that and get, you know, a dollar, which is already a joke. But, you know, they make basically the same exact arguments as like early days arguments of people arguing against Bitcoin and saying like it's not backed by anything. And it just seems like a super elementary sort of like, OK, have you done the skin deep level of research about what crypto is, or like, why are you here, is my question to them. So now we just went ahead and just fucking, you know, now we have a reserve of Bitcoin. So, you know, they can keep FUDding all they want, but now they're really literally FUDding against Bitcoin. So anyway, what is this sort of like, you know, bank run, like worst case scenario, and this reflexivity that people were talking about? Basically, and I can't remember who did it, like a really good chart on this. It might have been Jose from Delphi, but one of the biggest core sort of fears, I guess, or FUDs was that if the Luna price were to drop, that would also coincide with people that, well, I guess one of two things could happen. The Luna price drops dramatically and people either want to get out into stables, so they, you know, swap into UST, which, you know, will de-risk them, or they have some kind of fear that the UST is going to depeg. And so you get all this people swapping into UST, and then at the same time you get people swapping out of UST, and it can cause sort of this cycle of people that are like just basically a mass exodus of the network, which would cause this, you know, this bank run or whatever you want to call it. But now, or at least so far as like, you know, how we can speculate, because we still need some more details on this. Now if Luna drops, apparently you will be able to swap pretty freely between BTC and UST. And so we could see, you know, basically the same mechanism that we see now between Luna and UST. We might be able to see that, you know, coming down the pipeline very soon with Bitcoin and UST, which, you know, gives basically, instead of people now complaining about, you know, oh, UST, you know, it's this algorithmic stablecoin, what's its backing? Well, it's just this Luna, and like, you know, what's Luna? Now we'll say, and you know, as Doe tweeted, our decentralized money is now backed by the greatest decentralized asset of all time, in my opinion. And, you know, we might really begin to see, and like now I'm getting like wild bullish speculation. But really this might honestly be in the reason we've seen the price sort of appreciate so quickly in the past couple of days since the announcement came out. We're actually seeing like Bitcoin backed DeFi. You know, Terra Luna, and part of the reason why this ecosystem has grown so well is because we have these great tools and these great primitives that we've built on top of it. You know, Anchor Earn, mirrored assets, even though, you know, they're struggling or whatever, but all these new things that are coming out, and the user interface is really nice, and it's opening up these tools for people that they wouldn't have otherwise. And they're tools that can't be built on top of Bitcoin. And you know, I'm aware that there are teams out there that are trying to build it, but typically proof of work is such a limiting sort of mechanism to really be able to, you know, make these transactions. And so this is really the first time that we might successfully see DeFi backed by Bitcoin. And that's, you know, Doe's perfect tweet was him talking about, you know, the decentralized money needs a decentralized reserve. And so we've got it. We are waiting for more details to come out, but one more wild bit of speculation I'm going to give everybody to just think about on your weekend. And this is, take this with a grain of salt, but I was thinking about this and I was like, you know, if they're going to make it so that you can swap UST with native Bitcoin, you know, TFL has a really, really large reserve of Luna still. And I would be super intrigued to see if potentially the some of that Bitcoin that they have acquired, basically if they burnt some of that Luna that's in their reserves and swapped it with that Bitcoin. So that's my little bit of like crazy speculation. And that could be like almost a redacted four at that point, is like, hey, we're going to burn, you know, we've got 1 billion in Bitcoin. We're going to burn a billion in Luna and basically replace it with Bitcoin. So now you've got sort of two pools of reserve there, one in Luna, one in Bitcoin. And honestly, I mean, you know, that's just me speculating, but I think that's almost like a logical next step. So I don't know. And, you know, anybody that wants to chime in here and tell me I'm wrong or has any input, feel free to hop in and talk about it. Joseph, sorry, I just went on a monologue there. So
no, you're all good, dude. That was an interesting perspective and thought tank. Are you essentially saying, I apologize for the ignorance, but are you essentially saying we're going to be burning Bitcoin at some point if you were to follow that train?
Well, yeah, I guess that's actually a great point. It would be because the way that Luna was basically built, right, there is like that seigniorage and it burns Luna in order to create UST. So maybe you bring up a great point, because it might be a lot harder to do that with Bitcoin, especially native Bitcoin, because of the mechanics and the way things work on the back end, as far as like, can you actually burn Bitcoin to print UST? I mean, of course, you could send it to a burner wallet and like totally take it out of circulation, but I don't know if that's a sustainable thing long term. So, yeah, I mean, we're just going to have to wait for the details to come out here and see how exactly they do it. Unless they did it with some sort of wrapped Bitcoin, which is also possible. But you always need to be able to sort of swap back in one for one for the real deal, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, again, just wild speculation at this point. We are waiting for more details to come out. So hopefully we see what they do. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, we're going to have to see UST be swapped for Bitcoin, as opposed to UST being swapped for Luna, which gets you out of that death spiral. So take my words with a grain of salt. I'm just speculating here.
I love wild speculation. It seems like wild speculation leads to a lot of retweets and likes in the crypto Twitter on Terra. So I think we're on a right track if we're trying to get a little bit more of an audience. Do you guys want to move on to the next one, to the next biggest news?
Yeah. Unless anybody has like something they want to chime in on, we can continue going down the list here.
Okay, so let's hop into the next news bit. So let's cover outlet finance. So the debit card wars have been raging, and for the past 2 or 3 months, it seems like every other week there was a different team that was claiming that they were going to get debit cards for everyone, a way for you to spend your UST. At the moment, the outlet team has announced and confirmed that they are launching the debit cards, their UST-powered debit cards, the first week of March. And they have a great color schemes. They're very eye-appealing. I personally love the purple one. Regardless, I'm super excited to see this being rolled out, and I believe that it's going to be limited to only areas that accept MasterCard. I'm not really sure how the KYC is going to work. I'm not really sure what countries are going to be specifically enabled. The only details that I was able to find is that only MasterCard accepting locations will allow you to use it. And this past week, we've been able to see the outlet finance team just running through a lot of different areas, purchasing items, going to the local corner store and buying some drinks or using the subway. So really exciting to kind of see those things actually happening. And it seems like we're going to be able to order these cards the first week of March. I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is huge news. It's interesting how between all of sort of like the fiat on off ramp competitors, everyone has taken sort of a little bit of a different route to go to market. And with Outlet, they were really never sort of they were never trying to become this sort of like wallet application as much as they were really just focused on the debit cards. And from what we've seen through some of their demos, they have been walking around New York City, literally using it to get on to the subway, using it right on the tap to pay little terminal to go through the tourniquet to get into the subway. I have to assume that's being paid with UST. As Joseph mentioned, going in and buying things in the store. Interesting. The partnership with MasterCard is huge. MasterCard as a card network is, what's their slogan is like, there's some things money can't buy, for everything else there's MasterCard. They're the, as far as I know, the second largest card network in the US, at least. Behind only Visa. And then, you've probably got, China UnionPay is probably pretty massive on a global scale. But it's interesting to see. And I love that, they're taking this debit card approach. And if they're really coming out in early March, we're going to have to see. Typically, it takes a little while to like fulfill actually shipping those out. So I don't know if they're going to start with like this, this digital version, I think is probably more likely. Which, basically at that point you can just integrate it with Apple Pay or with some sort of like NFC, tap to pay through a mobile device on whatever payment terminal accepts that. So outlet finance coming along. I know their competitors are coming along as far as Kado goes. Off ramps are coming soon for them. Alice is coming along, I know for sure, because I've been actually beta testing the app. So I've been sending some money around between people. I've on-ramped, I've off-ramped back into my bank. And for all
off-ramp?
Those...
Did I just hear you say the words off-ramp?
Yeah. I know. Sorry, I had to sell $5 worth just to test it out. But trust me, it was only for testing reasons. So don't string me up by my boots here.
I'm just excited. It seems like the off ramps have been the biggest holdup for a lot of these P2P payment services. So I'm just gonna pick at your little drop of alpha there.
Yeah. The off ramp. So the on ramps were what came online first. I can't pretend to know like what 100% is going on behind the scenes. I do know that. The reason that there's such a bottleneck with these services and the reason why it seems like they're kind of like all coming out at the same time, and this is actually sort of like an overarching issue with crypto on and off ramps in general, is because there's only so many services that will basically custody like a stable coin. And so with what I'm pretty sure all of these services, including Cash, including Alice, including Kado, and including Outlet, they're all using Prime Trust, which is sort of like a central point of failure. And I'm not trying to like FUD these products too much, but people do have to realize like
this is one aspect that everybody's very excited for because it's very consumer focused and it's like, hey, finally, I don't need a bank. But at the end of the day, this is very highly regulated. This is like still sort of a central point of failure. You know, if at any moment some regulator comes down and decides that they don't like Luna, they don't like, you know, what, for whatever reason, they don't like crypto or whatever, this would be sort of like the frontier, the first frontier to go. And, you know, these apps aren't necessarily the most like hard to kill, you know, in like a harsh regulatory environment. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, I think the more products that come out and the more ways that we can on and off ramp and not have these bottlenecks where we're only relying on one custodian or, you know, one central point of failure, the better. In an even better world, it would be cool if everybody would just accept UST or accept Luna or accept any cryptocurrency as full payment and not even touch fiat rails at all. But, you know, at the end of the day, to make payroll and to pay your rent and stuff like that, you know, people need fiat. So we're still sort of stuck in this little conundrum where we're relying on these centralized services. But yeah, just keep that in mind. On and off ramps, though, seem to be clicking well. And I'm thinking, if I'm going to do more wild speculation for everybody on this beautiful Saturday morning, I'm thinking by mid-March, maybe April, we'll see like some actual live products in market from all of our friends. And Kado already has on-ramping. So, you know, if you're on-ramping and you want to do it quickly and easily, obviously you're still going to have to do KYC, but Kado is a $2 flat fee. So you can on-ramp $1,000 and pay $2 USD and you get 998 into a native Terra wallet immediately. So that's super cool.
Yeah. So, speaking of Kado has been shipping this week. So that's one of the news that I reported on this week. And they have been rolling integration after integration after integration. And it's specifically been focusing on their on-ramps. And it seems like they're targeting every single major protocol throughout the space to be able to just connect your Kado on-ramp. And it's going to allow anyone who's like, oh, look, I can go deposit into Anchor. And they'll be able to just connect an on-ramp with and through Kado. Right now at the moment, they are targeting to get the Anchor integration, but they did flesh out the Terra Station and they did flesh out a on-ramp for Kuji swapping. So really interesting to see that team kind of going through this route to be a native port for ramping your fiat currency. So if you guys are ever stuck in a bind and you can't just get money into your favorite protocols, it seems like Kado is going to be leading the forefront on that kind of ramping of fiat currencies.
Yeah, again, and it speaks to sort of the different approach that all these apps have taken. I think, you know, whereas Alice is trying to be sort of the Venmo of UST, Outlet is trying to be basically, you know, Chai, but in the West. And then you've got Kado, which is really trying to be that first option for anybody to on-ramp, especially if you're just trying to go directly from, you know, I think a lot of people in the space are going to, a lot of people who aren't in the space yet, who are going to come over into Terra Luna or into crypto for the first time, they are going to get introduced to Terra Luna through like, 20% savings on Anchor. Like, how do you do that? I think there was, somebody sent me like some TikTok thing of some really popular, apparently influencer who bought like $1 million house or something ridiculous with borrowed money, and he threw it in Anchor and was like, look at this, I can just pay my mortgage with this 20% annual. But he was like at 80% LTV and like everybody was like, this is a terrible idea from this TikToker. Probably wasn't even real, honestly, but that kind of stuff is going to be the intro for people that aren't already, you know, balls deep in this stuff like we are. And I think you know, Kado positions themselves very well so that if you go to Anchor and you go to that dashboard and you're like, oh, I want to earn 20%, this isn't just like clicking a button or calling my bank and telling them put it in the savings account. I need to actually get my hands on this native asset and, you know, figure it out. And, you know, I'm a boomer and I have no idea what I'm doing. Kado positions themselves nicely to be like, oh, okay, here we go. Here's the on-ramp. Click this, you know, go through what should be a fairly painless KYC. And then, you know, you've got your your money in the account, and you pay the 2% fee, and you know, you're golden. So I don't know. I'm interested to see the, all of these in action. I'll be using all of them, and we'll continue to report on the on-ramp wars, as we call them.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be testing out Kado's Amazon purchasing system. I actually haven't used it yet. So I'm definitely going to be trying out to order my cat's cat food and litter. So I'll report back and let you guys know if my cats have a new litter box or any issues getting their stuff.
Yeah, maybe get them some catnip too to calm them down, because last time we had a live show, they freaked out and
So funny story, they ended up doing the same thing when I had a meeting with the Terabytes intern. So it seems like they are strategically doing it to sabotage my career here. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about Nebula. So Nebula is an interesting little protocol that's kind of come up out of nowhere. I know we are obviously running short on protocols to just degen our money away into. I just have endless reserves and I can partake in everything. But Nebula is coming up and they are introducing a new concept. And it's essentially the only way that I can describe it, the way that my little degen mind can understand it, is that you are going to have clusters. And these clusters are essentially the situation with they're essentially clusters with, they're basically ETFs, and they're going to allow users to define the mechanisms and the different kinds of opportunities that you want these cluster tokens and clusters to partake in. So think an ETF that tracks arbitrage opportunities. Think an ETF that tracks abilities to purchase, and et cetera. And so that ability to do things like that is going to be a really interesting little mechanism to see work out.
Yeah, 100%. Nebula actually, they were on the radar not too long ago, and I brought Luz up as a speaker, so we'll get to you in 1 second. Let me just comment here quickly. Nebula was actually a project that, if anybody knows Will Chen, like the meme god Will Chen, who was a developer with Terraform Labs, he was like the head of development. I think he was leading up that program for a while. And or at least that project rather for a while, and he ended up after he left TFL, I'm not sure again like what happened internally, but they kept the project going, and so it's been like sort of, there's been whispers about like an ETF project on Terra for a while. Now we see that the white paper is finally out, and if you've listened to Byte Papers, I think this is a good opportunity for us to do another one. So far we've done Prism, we've done Mars, Byte Papers. Those are for people, you know, I know for me, when a white paper comes out, as Nebula has come out, I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it. But if somebody with a nice smooth sounding voice would actually just come in and read it for me, and I could listen to it while I'm driving or listen to it while I'm, you know, making breakfast or whatever, that would be awesome. So what we're going to do is probably do that for Nebula. And again, Nebula ETFs, which is basically, you know, a derivative of some specific market. The fun and interesting thing with this is that you can basically build whatever you want. And like a good example of that is, a couple months ago, I was talking to somebody and I was like, man, you know what would be a cool investment strategy is look at Coinbase Ventures. So, you know, everybody's familiar with Coinbase. Look at Coinbase Ventures, which is their investment arm, and see all the projects that they have invested in but haven't listed on Coinbase yet. Because you would have to imagine if they're invested in these projects, they're going to eventually list them on Coinbase. And as we've seen throughout the bear market, or rather throughout the bull market, whenever a coin gets listed on Coinbase, it gets a nice little boost and it gets sort of exposure to like the mainstream normies. And so, you know, it'd be cool to sort of build a portfolio out of that. And then once it gets listed, maybe you just sell into that little pop or whatever. But things like that, you know, that's, you know, maybe that's not like the greatest example ever, but you can get basically down to a custom level as much as you want to build out these ETFs. So if it's, you know, in traditional finance, like you have a gold exposure ETF, you have like certain commodities that have an ETF that surround them. You have Bitcoin ETFs that have been built on a couple different markets. I think Canada had one before anybody, and now we're starting to see some ETFs pop up in the U.S., which is cool, which is like a big driver of the last bull market. So keep an eye out for these Nebula clusters. I think it's really cool to see like some of the bigger brain finance people be able to sort of put together these little portfolios that they call clusters and package them up and say like, yeah, here's a bet on, you know, maybe it's TeFi stuff. Maybe it's a broader DeFi play. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a stablecoin type thing. I don't know. It could be anything again. So keep an eye out for Nebula. I haven't read the white paper yet, but I'll probably read it and do a super deep dive, and it'll be the next white paper for everybody to listen to. So, and Joseph, I heard your mom almost came on and talked to us.
Yeah, that was Luz who requested to speak. That was my mom. So shout out to my mom for accidentally hitting the speaker button. Okay, so let's move on to the hackathon. So Canada's largest Web3 hackathon event is going to be carrying out. It's going to be hosted, and it's going to be hosted in Ottawa, I believe. And it's going to be from the time period of March 18th to March 25th. I'm not really sure. But that's going to be taking place. And Terra Money is actually the major sponsor for this event. And they're going to be just developing essentially just a hackathon. And I'm excited to see that Terra Money is pioneering the largest event, Web3 event in Canada already. I'm surprised that that's the largest Web3 event that is taking place in the entire country. So super exciting to see Terra Money leaning into that and leading the forefront as far as to hosting those events. I don't know if anyone's going to go partake, but definitely going to be an interesting little event to see TFL partaking in.
Yeah, and there's, well, everybody claims to be the largest something or the first something, so I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but it is great to see that this hackathon's going on, especially in Canada, where, you know, apparently they're not huge fans of crypto, although they backed off a little bit because I think it was so unpopular to, like, you know, freeze people's bank accounts. We're not going to get into that because we've covered that already, but yeah, good to see that there's a hackathon going on. And I would just recommend anybody who is in the space who, you know, you want to get involved, but you haven't quite like figured out your avenue. You don't have to be a developer to join a hackathon. You don't have to, you know, necessarily even really know a whole lot. But as long as you just come in and you're sort of ambitious, hackathons are a great way to get involved. And it's not just because of, you know, like prize money. Okay, I think this hackathon, like first place gets like $5,000. So like, you know, groceries for the month, basically. But the way that you'll basically build your network is like so much more valuable than any prize money you can make. And again, you don't have to be a technical person. You know, Pete and I have done hackathons in the past in a couple different ecosystems. I know like JavaScript and like, I'm not great at it. And so, you know, I just kind of focus on like design and sort of like I'm the ideas guy and the pitch guy, and we've made invaluable connections and resources with different people. So even if it's sort of a, you know, one that's more, remote and more in like the meta space and you don't get to go in person, just cause of COVID or whatever restrictions. Yeah, that kind of sucks. But I'm telling you, if you're sitting, you know, if you're the kind of person, I know there's so many of these people that are like, you're on the sidelines, you don't know how to get involved, and you're like second guessing yourself, and you're like, you know, I don't really know enough, or I'm, you know, I'm not good technically, or whatever. Like, I'm telling you, just join a team, spitball ideas with people. Hackathons are like the coolest experience, and it's a great way to get your toes wet in the space.
All right. Unless anyone wants to request to speak on the hackathon, I think we should just move on to the next piece of news.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one that I have is for anyone that is interested in margin account trading, a smaller exchange. I haven't heard of them. O1 Exchange. It is a decentralized derivatives exchange powered by Solana. And they have now enabled native deposits of Luna. And you can now go over there and deposit Luna assets and participate in margin trading. And you can fund your O1 account and pretend to be smarter than everyone else on the markets. So if you guys are trying to go bet on the market, head on over to O1 Exchange and go fund your account. Next. Oh, wait, Evan, do you have anything on that one?
No, I was going to look it up while you were talking. What's it called? O1?
Like, yeah, O1 underscore exchange.
Okay, let me look.
They were enabled through Wormhole Crypto to get the native Terra and Solana deposits. So it seems like they're gonna start growing now that they have this ability, and it seems to be the only place that you can go actively margin trade for Terra native assets at the moment.
I believe Vertex has something to say about that soon.
Yeah, this is like a total like aside and a tangent, but I wish you could basically like margin trade any asset ever. There are so many cryptos out there, and this is probably the reason why, but there's so many projects out there that not in the Terra ecosystem, but like outside of Terra, that I see that I'm like, wow, this is set up terribly for failure. The fundamentals are awful. The token emissions are terrible. It's basically like a Ponzi scheme. And I look around on all the markets and I go to CoinMarketCap and I'm like, where can I borrow this asset and just sell it and just short the shit out of it? And I can't do it. So if anybody has a decentralized version of that, where you can basically short any asset you want, please let me know, because I have a couple on my radar that I'm really trying to like basically decimate. Not to sound like an evil bastard, but I think that'd be cool to be like, you know, really just an open like an open decentralized market where you can borrow assets, you know, like similar to like basically how you borrow on Anchor. I would even be willing to put up collateral to short some of these. So sorry, that was a tangent. Go ahead, Joseph.
I mean, the day that I can short my Beanie Babies, like that's going to be a very pivotal moment in all financial history. So I really appreciate that tangent.
You can borrow some Beanie Babies from me if you want. Well, from my daughter. She might not let you.
Can I collateralize them though? Like, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm going to go full like 70% LTV on any Beanie Babies that I can collateralize.
You'd have to take it up with her.
Ugh. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. I'm probably going to lose that one. Okay, so let's lead into the next news. For everyone who is a movie nerd, everyone's been talking about the Terra Doc for the longest time, and I never knew if that was actually a thing. I believe there was like a small little clip that came out, and I was highly confused. I thought that was the Luna Doc, and it was super short, so I was kind of disappointed when that interview, that little bit from the 37th Degree Studios came out. But it seems like they have rolled out and fleshed out more of a plan. So the Lunar Film Guild at LFG_Terra. They have announced the Terra Doc, and they're going to be hosting it through the LFG DAO. And it's going to be a very interesting mechanism in the sense that if you are an NFT holder and you are in the LFG DAO, you will be able to guide the direction of the Terra Doc. You will be participating in decisions. And if you are a holder of the NFTs, and depending on your tier of accomplishments in the DAO, you have the potential of being part of the Doquan interview, of being involved in a lot of the other aspects of the documentary. I'm not sure what the whole goal of the documentary was. I don't know what happened a long time ago. Evan, do you have any insight as to where this 37th Degree documentary has come from?
Unfortunately not. I missed like the whole beginning of the LFG sort of spaces. I think that was like 2 days ago. I didn't join until as soon as I joined, the very first thing I heard, which Donku tweeted, was like Doe, who seemed like he was like, you know, a little bit loose on the juice, said that he said that they had like undercover built a couple of the most successful DeFi protocols in 2020 to help them fund like other projects. And I saw, that was like, as soon as I joined, that was the first sentence I heard. And I was like, what? I was like, that's crazy. And I was like, oh, this is going to get interesting. And then he kind of, I think, said that he spoke a little bit too much about it and kind of dropped it from there. So I was just sort of like, you know, tunnel visioned in on that. And then the following AMA questions that were going on. But I missed the Lunar Film Guild stuff, unfortunately. But that does sound cool to be able to like buy an NFT and almost get like a producer credit. I'm also curious, like, not only just to sort of like fanboy and get involved with, you know, with whatever they're producing and the behind the scenes stuff, but, you know, if you purchase these NFTs, does that give you certain monetary rights? You know, if say they make this documentary and they end up selling it to Netflix, that can be a pretty nice little, you know, windfall of cash. And, you know, I would imagine they're going to sell these NFTs to sort of fund the project. Well, if I'm funding this project, do I have any chance of return on my investment through, you know, some sort of sale to Netflix or Disney or whatever the hell? So I also know, and I can't say too much, but I know that there are other projects, other film crews that have sold things to Netflix and have sold things to like Apple. I think Apple has a streaming service, that are also working behind the scenes on some scripting of like the broader sort of DeFi space. But Terra Luna is like heavily, heavily sort of like in the spotlight as far as what they're writing about and what they're planning on producing. And this is a team that has pushed things out. Like, think of any streaming service, Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, all that kind of stuff. They've sold to those production houses before, and now they're looking to basically, you know, write a series about, you know, DeFi and sort of how it fits into the world today. And a major part of that will be people in the Terra Luna space. So that's as much as I can say.
That's super exciting. I think that's going to onboard millions of people to crypto and just open up their eyes to the capabilities. Because I know that a lot of people just digest and run out of things to watch on Netflix. And so if they see something that's covering why people are buying apes and why they are buying JPEGs and why people are so obsessed with things called Terra and Solana, I think it's going to put a little bit of a more greater context to what is going on in this space. And that's been my biggest hurdle with communicating to people that are not involved here in cryptocurrency specifically. It's that you sound crazy when you talk to someone about this. Like, you genuinely do. And thankfully, I have very understanding parents that have supported me throughout this entire endeavor.
Your mom almost joined us. I was disappointed she didn't.
Yeah, well, we would have to change the space to be Spanish thing at that point. But we could look into hosting some Spanish spaces in the future. I see Nena in the crowd, so definitely might be an interesting little dynamic there. Let's move on. What big news do you want to cover? Mars. Okay, so I'm super excited about Mars. Mars is rolling up, and they're rolling up their sleeves. And the biggest announcement for me this week was the announcement of two protocols that are pitching to use the contract-to-contract lending capabilities. So the contract-to-contract lending capabilities is opening up the doors for DeFi protocols to essentially experience what end users have been able to do, which is to borrow, collateralize, and go degen strat away throughout DeFi. But now we're going to start seeing protocol-level lending, and specifically, they will be able to build in a smart contract relationships between collateralization, between lending mechanisms. And this week, Alpha Finance Lab and Spectrum Protocol are up for voting. So once Mars launches and once they have fleshed out their Mars field or whatever it's called, they will pass on this decision to the Martian Council, and the Martian Council will get to determine if Alpha Finance Lab or Spectrum Protocol deserve the ability to use the contract-to-contract lending. Personally, I've been an avid user of Spectrum. I fundamentally believe that they've had some great farms over the past several months. Alpha Finance is coming from a little bit of a separate place. I don't think that they were a native Terra space. I believe they were an Ethereum-based area, and they are going to pitch essentially being able to use the smart contract abilities and to kind of lead into a launchpad metaverse and kind of a DeFi area. Very interesting development there. They have a huge following, so definitely something to stay in the loop about.
Yeah, and I saw that Mars's lock drop I believe closed in the last 24 hours. And it was a pretty great, like, success. And I think a lot of people, we saw like a huge amount locked for 18 months, which was the longest term you could do it. And so, like, far and away, that people are long-term bullish Mars. And I'm excited to see, have there been any details, Joseph, on like what Spec's planning to do, or do we just know that they're going to use this C2C lending platform, but they haven't really given any specifics yet on Like, what exactly is their strategy, I guess, is what I'm curious about.
So the most interesting component of their strategy is that they see the Terra ecosystem providing a foundational layer of how smart contract to smart contracting will work. And they have envisioned to where they will be the last end piece of that puzzle. They would take essentially any strategy that does exist with smart contract to smart contract lending, and they would provide the compounding or the auto compounding of that strategy. So if you can imagine, I can't imagine, but I'm sure that these Giga 5 Chad brain people are thinking of insane strategies to auto compound results, to auto compound yields. And the most interesting pitch that I read from the spec team is that they're interested in approaching Solana and Ethereum or even Matic based yield areas. So they might start looking into using the smart contract to smart contract lending features to start auto compounding yield opportunities and farms that are not Terra based. So that's got me super excited. That's got me really ambitious for what the possibilities may lie ahead in terms of using these contracts. My biggest concern, I know that Ethereum has had a very rough history with flash loans. Flash loans have been notorious for being very dangerous. And in the past, there have been a lot of compromises in Ethereum. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Mars and the Delphi Digital team are going to balance that. And the very rudimentary piece of knowledge that I do have of smart contracts is that the more smart contracts you have on top of one another, the more risk is involved. And so that's why auto compounders have a little bit of a weird feeling amongst the DeFi community. Definitely going to be keeping an eye out on the safety and the mechanisms that they have to protect end users.
Yeah, and I think that main mechanism to protect end users is sort of the Mars Council, and the fact that the sort of the last actually I think it might be the first bailout if something were to go awry is the staked Mars tokens that people would basically, the Martian Council people that are using to vote with. So it gives them an incentive to make sure that they're not just like willy-nilly approving some ridiculous shit that's gonna like get everybody wrecked. And so, and you mentioned flash loans, Joseph, and just like for people that aren't really like never heard that term before, you know, flash loans are basically an uncollateralized loan in which you are proposing to the lender to say, okay, I'm going to do like XYZ trades with the money that you lend me. And then in the same exact, transaction, I'm going to repay the loan. And so the lender would look at this and it's a contract and it's like C2C as well. And they're going to look at that and say, okay, well, because you're doing this, this, and this, we understand that we're definitely going to get repaid or at least not going to lose money on this. And then you're going to pay a fee back to us for lending you this. They're definitely like bleeding edge financial stuff. And they can get risky. And we've seen like some pretty crazy flash loan stuff. Mars, I don't think is necessarily like going to go down that route. I think they're looking for more like sustainable plays. And, you know, we've in the interview we've done with them and in the white paper itself, or in their, I guess it's a light paper. One of their biggest examples for this is like, let's say I wanted to do some like leveraged yield farming on, let's just say like the mirror token, and all I would need was mirror token, one side of it. And I could basically deposit that into their yield farm. And then Mars would supply the UST on their end. So I'm borrowing UST, but it's not like I'm just borrowing it in Anchor where I can just like take it and run away with it or do whatever I want. And if I get liquidated, well then, you know, everybody's sorted out on the back end. I would be borrowing UST, but the UST has to go specifically into sort of like a pre-approved strategy. And so if I, you know, if I deposit this mirror, say I deposit, you know, 10 mirror, and Mars would then deposit the equal amount of UST into that strategy, and I would be able to then take whatever the LP rewards would be on top of that. And then, you know, say that LP should drop. Well, because the Mars protocol already owns that UST on one side of the LP, they don't need to necessarily liquidate as much of the mirror tokens that I put in because they already own you know, half of basically that LP up front. So I would say take a look at the light paper if that stuff seems a little bit confusing to you. I think it's explained pretty well. Or if you don't like reading, you can always listen to the smooth sounds of my voice, Pantera, as I read the Mars light paper in Byte Papers, which is on our podcasting platform. So shameless plug there. Joseph, what else do we got for news? I know we have Minerva, who we wanted to talk to as well today. So we can bring them up pretty soon if we have nothing, no other big news to cover.
I really loved your little plug that you just did right there. I feel like you got closer to the mic and you started soothing our audience. So I think you made a really good pitch right there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how I read all the Byte Papers. So feel free to, I've heard some people have told me they're not even interested in what I'm saying. They're just interested in how I say it. So
you heard it here first. Terabytes is now pivoting the entire model. We are going into ASMR. And Evan's going to be the leading edge of that.
Crypto ASMR.
Okay, so let me just rapid fire through the news, and then we can go ahead and bring up Minerva. I'm super excited to talk to them about their protocol and their team that they've got developing over there. So let's rapid fire through the biggest news. First up, I want to cover White Whale. White Whale spent a whopping $1.5 or $1 million worth of UST to purchase Flat Luna. And this represents a massive amount of their treasure trove. As far as entire protocol liquidity, it only represents 10% of their war chest, but it does represent 40% of their liquid capital. So this was a large and sizable decision that the White Whale team has done, and it was all in accordance to their governance proposal number 2. Next up, Skuji. Skuji has launched. Skuji is now your ability to stake Kuji and essentially expose yourself to any sort of Apex asset that goes through a Kujira-based mechanism. So we're talking Beluga or Orca. If an Ethereum runs through there and there is a portion of revenue that is generated from that, then SQG holders will start receiving those yields of those assets. So very interesting mechanism there. And I think it is a prime opportunity for anyone who wants to start accumulating assets and also start accumulating Kuji, because they do have ambitions to go off-chain. Next up is Prism. Prism protocol has been rolling through. The refraction world keeps going and everyone keeps debating if YRP Luna is better. But meanwhile, the Prism protocol team has not slowed down. They have launched their mechanism for amping, which is essentially I've never seen this kind of mechanism before, but this could be just my lack of experience and I haven't seen how Ethereum works. But they are amping the reserves. So if you are going to commit your X Prism, depending on your time period and how long and or how much Prism you've committed to the period, you will start collecting AMP, which essentially enhances your yield that you can see from your Wild Luna asset. So definitely a little bit of an interesting mechanism. So definitely worth you guys going to research that if you are involved in Prism. Next up is going to be Loop Finance and Stator Labs. Loop Finance and Stator Labs have teamed up, and they are now, for a limited time until the end of the month, if you LP Luna and Luna X LPs, and if you do it on the Loop DEX, you will not only yield SD tokens, part of the farming event, but you will also yield Loop rewards. So this is a great chance for any of those humble farmers out there who are just trying to get their humble stacks. So go ahead and check that out if you want to start accumulating some SD and Loop tokens. Next up is Apollo DAO. Apollo DAO has also dipped their toes into the Mars lock drop phase, and they were ambitious. They locked away 1 million UST for 18 months. In tandem with these adjustments or this event, they have also launched 4 more vaults, UST vaults from Astroport, and these are going to be LPs with VKR, XDeFi, Orion, and STT. So new farming opportunities there, and I think that pretty much covers it. Oh. Nope, Atlo. Almost forgot about the team over at Atlo, who are bringing the next generation of Terra ecosystem projects. Atlo is excited to say that Mint DAO has successfully launched and passed, and they actually sold out all of their Mint token allocations on the Atlo platform. So super exciting news there. And FanFury Official is also proposing for launch. And if you are still an Atlo participator or an Atlo staker, you need to go vote so you can receive your incentive. And I believe that takes us to the end of the week. It's been a busy week. It's been an exciting week. The Terra ecosystem just continues growing and we continue getting safer. And speaking of innovation, I think we have a team that is very ambitious in doing that. Evan, are you ready to bring up the Minerva team?
Yeah, let's bring up Minerva. They're actually, that's at the Atlo news is a good segue because I do believe Minerva is going to be launching on the Atlo platform. Minerva, we saw a couple months ago, they were initially talking about like NFT wine reserves or something crazy like that. And, you know, I like wine and I like NFTs, so that caught my attention. But I think they've definitely sort of expanded a bit more into like the physical realm. And how to sort of tokenize, you know, physical, whatever, collectibles and wine and whatever. I'll let them speak about it because they clearly know more about their own project than I do. So let's hear from the Minerva team. I guess first we can start off with, like, what the hell is Minerva?
Hey guys. Thanks for having us on. Like, yeah, I first got into Terra Space about a year ago, and a big part of it was your videos. It's you know, really cool to come up and speak. Minerva is it's primarily about bringing real world assets onto the blockchain and doing that in a sort of secure and sustainable way. And our primary focus, you know, our MVP is all about wine. So we're looking at getting some of the best vineyards across the world, and having like on-premier, so early like wine futures on Terra. So yeah, we're really excited to bring it to you guys and show you what we've been building. Yeah.
So when you say wine futures, that means if I am to purchase one of these NFTs, it's a derivative. I can't actually one day be like, hey, I can't show up at a vineyard and be like, hey, here's my NFT, send it to somebody's wallet and then walk away with a barrel of wine.
Our main goal from the start has been getting wine into people's hands. So we don't want it to be, I mean, there's a couple of other platforms that are doing like notional or tokenized sales, but we want wine delivered to your front door that you can open and drink. And that's been our priority the whole way through. So when we talk about sort of wine futures, it's effectively buying the wine when it's in development, when it's in production stage, rather than when it's bottled and ready to go. It's quite a popular process in Bordeaux and other parts of France, but it's not as widely used, but effectively we take that mechanism and we use yield strategies in the background to give that length of time a bit more power and a bit more potency, to mean that you get good investment strategy and wine that you can drink over a number of years. Yeah, so you're putting money down early for wine that you will drink later on in some time.
Okay, very, very interesting, and I'm in. I'm sold already. So, if I let's say that I purchase, so is it an NFT? I would imagine is like representative of some like physical wine yield or like a barrel, yeah. Or
so we've got. So I say we fractionalize a barrel, and I think the word fractionalize it leads to some confusion because you get fractionalized NFTs, you know, but every NFT that we sell represents a case of 6 bottles of wine. That's our standard unit. There might be some exceptions for very sort of for like pricey individual bottles, but by and large it's a case of 6 per NFT, and that's what we're launching with. Yeah,
so as a user, then it seems to me like there might be like 2 use cases. I can either if I enjoy a good bottle of wine and I'm just an enthusiast, I could purchase one of these NFTs. I'm helping the winery sort of you know, what fund their operations and the bottling and the aging and all that stuff. And then eventually one day I can sort of redeem that NFT and have the wine shipped to my house. Or alternatively, I can speculate on the price of that NFT or that wine, right?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. So there'll be a secondary market for it. And you could, if you wanted to send ownership onto another wallet, you could. Yeah. But primarily we want, as I say, we want people to buy it, own it, and then drink it. That's sort of the end goal for us. But there is a secondary market component to it. Yeah.
So I guess a good question then is like, what are the advantages, I guess, of doing this? If your primary market is for like people to buy wine and drink it, what are the advantages of doing like NFTs and building this on Terra as opposed to just however it currently works, which by the way, I have no idea how it currently works.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And I think there's some really great like current Web2 models out there. The one thing, well, there's a few things that set us apart. I think. But the one main thing is that when you buy your wine, so at the very start, when you pay your money for your NFT, we deposit that money into Anchor Protocol and a combined yield strategy, but primarily Anchor and Ozone insured Anchor when it's available. And that gives your appreciating asset additional potency. So it allows you to invest in wine and you can invest in, you know, particular Californian wine or champagne or whatever it might be. But also knowing that you're going to get that additional DeFi kick that you wouldn't get in a primary in a conventional market. And beyond that, you get your distinct artwork and you also get access to sort of token gated materials direct from the producers. And so when we look at our flagship brands, when we look at some of the bigger producers, the idea of having a different working relationship with their customer is something that really appeals to them. You know, like the idea of having a locked two-way exchange that you know is going to be in place for 2, 3, 4 years, that's something they don't have at the moment. It's not a one-way mailing list. It's suddenly a different dynamic. And that NFT links the two sort of intrinsically for an extended period of time. And that's something we've got this Minerva Club concept that we've been developing for quite a while. And we're really excited about not only the yield component, but I think far more so the community marketing relationship that we think is going to be really different to what's out there. So, I think they're the main two for me, the yield component and the marketing shift, as I said. Yeah, sorry.
And so go ahead, Joseph.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit, and this might be changing gears. So Evan, if you want to ask your question, go for it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause mine's sort of like a follow-up there. So I'm curious if I'm purchasing one of these NFTs, and let's just say the price is $100 and I am due like a box of wine or six bottles of wine based off that $100. Earlier I said some portion going to like fund the operation, and then you also said some of it's going into like some yielding strategy. So like, what is the split there on what percentage is actually going to like the winery versus what percentage is going into like a yielding strategy for whatever?
So yeah, excellent question. So if you have that, your $100, effectively it goes into yield strategy, and the majority of that yield goes to the producer, and that's the real sort of benefit from the producer perspective, in that they get yield and they can withdraw that every 6 months, and they have this sort of reliable biannual income that they didn't have before, while wine is in production, and that can, you know, that can pay for your refrigeration, your utilities, your core production costs. 20% of it will go to you as a customer, and that's your additional sort of potency in terms of having the appreciating asset and some yield. And then 10% of it goes to a charity vault that we organize in the merchant's name. That's the split, 70-20-10. And primarily it's about incentivizing the right type of merchants, having the best wine producers come and join us and put their name on Terra, you know. And we're really excited about bringing them to you guys. Yeah,
I'm super excited, and like I said, I'm in. So DM me. Don't DM Terabytes. DM me Pantera whenever this is ready, because I want to be on the whitelist for this. I guess two more questions on the wine topic, and then Joseph, feel free to fire away. What can we expect to pay for one of these NFTs that represents six bottles of wine? And I'm assuming there's going to be a premium. Do you have any like ideas of like how much the price of one of these NFTs will diverge from if I were to just buy the bottles, on the marketplace?
Yes. It's really interesting. Yeah. And I mean, in terms of what you're likely to pay, we've done a fair amount of I don't want to say soul searching, but we've looked at target audiences and we're splitting it two ways, and we've got an announcement that'll come in the coming sort of week or so, which we're really excited about. But there'll be a lower end option where you're looking at a case for about sort of $150 to sort of $300, and then there'll be the higher end, sort of your 1% investment grade wine, which would be fairly significantly more expensive, and that's yeah, that's your very high end stuff. In terms of the premium and the difference, I don't know. It's exciting, you know. I don't know how that secondary market's going to diverge. We've got each phase of sales that we have will have its own artist. So the first six producers that we have on offer will have individualized artwork from this guy called Jason Drake in the UK, and we announced that earlier today. So yeah, I don't know. It's exciting. Any thoughts from you guys would be appreciated. But I imagine it's a question of how far can it diverge from that original asset price, and how much are people willing to speculate on that, essentially. Yeah, it will be very interesting to see.
And what's the price range we're looking at for that investment tier wine? Like, what's the ballpark range for that, you think?
Sort of, you're looking at sort of, I'd say the cheapest on that side of things, sort of 1700, 1800 plus.
And that is that wine that you only drink if you're like flexing, or you usually are only speculating on
that's, that's your flex wine. Yeah. Yeah.
That's your, if I'm in the doghouse with the wife, like break open one of those bottles.
Yeah. And that's right. Sort of, yeah, that's, there's complexity to that because it's, you know, as I said at the start, our main mission is getting wine to your door. And I think with the very high end investment grade wine, it's almost, you know, in the current models, it's traded, it's stored in bond. So it's not actually very often delivered and stored directly. So yeah, we've had a long think about that, and it's something we will offer definitely, but we want to prioritize getting wine to you directly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's a great, like you see a lot of these sort of, in crypto, there's like people trying to sort of cross the chasm into the physical space and say like, all right, we're going to tokenize real estate, or we're going to tokenize like some investment in whatever X, Y, Z. And then, but they never really focus on like the actual deliverable of the physical goods, or, you know, like let you go actually explore the property or the real estate or whatever. So I think it's really cool that you guys are taking that approach of like, we want to actually deliver the wine, like show you this is the real deal. You're not just investing in some like bullshit thing that, you know, oh, here's a picture of a bottle of wine that you like may or may not own, right? With, you know, some, we just Googled like, you know, vineyard and photoshopped a bottle of your wine onto it. So yeah, I definitely appreciate that approach. That's really cool.
There's 0 point. Yeah, thank you. And there's 0 point in us doing, you know, what has been so far about 6 months worth of compliance work and development work for something that could have just been like an oracle. Like we want this, as I say, to be tangible and to be I think Terra as a blockchain is designed with that real world application in mind, and we've very much tried to sort of channel that ethos in what we're doing. And we spent a lot of time in terms of securing the customer process and securing the game theory on both sides of things. But yeah, thanks, sorry, long-winded way to say I agree. Yeah, real world assets, definitely.
I kind of want to take a little bit deeper into this in the future thought. The mechanisms that you guys are describing for wine usage is really exciting. I just read a little bit of your white paper where you guys delved into the future utility, and I'm reading a little bit about Torch tokens. And I'm kind of thinking about the possibilities of this application to the world beyond wine. You guys have listed whiskey, watches, designer bags, collectibles, vintage cars. Earlier in the space, I made a joke about collateralizing Beanie Babies. I mean, like, I feel like that this is essentially the vehicle where anything that someone can put value on something that appreciates. The other day I read an article about how Legos are like vintage Lego sets are starting to rocket in value. What ability and what is your future orientation to give these vehicles an access to the community to kind of define this whole market essentially?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something that's sort of been on my mind for quite a while. You know, we certainly don't want to get distracted from that primary focus, and we want to make a name for ourselves in the wine industry, which is such a huge industry anyway, you know. But we've been set up as a DAO, and we've been set up in a way that can can expand fairly organically, I hope. We know that we want whiskey to come sort of in the middle of this year, and that's our next sort of asset class after wine, because it works along similar terms in terms of production and custody and distribution. But in theory, I the Minerva model can work with any appreciating asset, and there's a lot of question marks there in terms of who takes custody of it, who confirms ownership and safety, and how do you remove the human fallibility? If you want your Beanie Babies, how do I know they're safe, and how do I know they still exist? But that's certainly something on the midterm horizon for us, and anyone who's interested in that model and wants to work out the human element of it and help us solve some of those questions, please join the Discord and get involved. There's a lot of platforms out there who are starting to do similar. Like 4K is probably a good example, and they take custody of all the items and they hold it in a big centralized warehouse. And a big part of our model is we wanted to decentralize it. We wanted to have wine producers taking custody of their own wine until it's sent. And I don't quite know what the collectible equivalent of that is, but I know it exists. So yeah, I'm really interested to explore that once we've really made inroads in the wine industry. If it's of interest, just get in touch, guys. DMs are always open here.
Super exciting stuff. Thank you for coming on to the space.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Hey, so I got to jump off here in the next couple minutes, but before we wrap this up, Minerva, I know you guys are launching on Atlo, or can you give us more details about that? Is that going to be the six bottles of wine NFTs that you're launching, or what is it? And then when wine?
So we have our governance proposal on Atlo comes live, I think, on Monday. So there's a 5-day voting window, and hopefully we're approved there. We have our torch swap in if that's all successful on the 5th of March. And the white paper goes into a lot more detail about how the torch token sort of underlies the whole system there. Then we're looking in terms of when wine, it's a question of weeks rather than months. We're aiming for April, and we'll have a broader token release through a bootstrap pool just after that in April as well. So that's our three, swap in a week or so, a launch in April and then broader torch launch in April as well.
And I guess one more question: from the time that I purchased the NFT, what is like the life cycle of the wine actually being produced so that I can have it shipped to me?
So that will be specified by each of our initial six producers on offer. It'll be anywhere between sort of, I think on the smaller scale, 2 years, on the bigger scale, 6 to 7, depending on the type of wine. So that's a rough time frame. I would say as well, just quickly, guys, like we've worked really closely with Atlo and Andromeda and the Cardo team in terms of integration. And yeah, I just wanted to give them a brief shout out. I think they're all doing really amazing things, and they've made what we want to build a lot easier so far. And yeah, I love them. Great teams.
Excellent. All right. Well, big shout out to Minerva. Big shout out to Atlo. Andromeda in there, that's very cool. Andromeda's been working sort of undercover for a while here, so happy to know that they're still trucking for sure. Cody and the guys over at Andromeda, that's gonna do it for today, unless Joseph, you've got anything, or Minerva, or anybody has any questions. I need to go to a 5-year-old's birthday party, so big things on the agenda for me. Minerva, you got something?
I wouldn't want to hold you back from that. I just want to say thank you. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We will be doing these weekly on Saturday mornings, Eastern Standard Time, sometime between 10 a.m. or 11:30 a.m., depending on what we got going on. We appreciate everybody for dropping by. We will be back on YouTube live with News Bites on, I guess, Monday of next week or Tuesday of next week. We're not sure because we have another thing sort of up in the air. But as always, you can catch up with us on Twitter. Please follow us. Please follow Casa Intern for the threads that we use to sort of base all the news on. And Everybody have a great weekend. And let's go Luna. Love to see the market cap. I think it flipped ADA. So that's awesome. Anyway, everybody enjoy your week. Thanks.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a Terabyte Space Terra Luna News. LFG buys Bitcoin, Nebula white paper, hackathons, and more. Recorded on Saturday, February 26th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course we're tripping balls, handed reports in. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thinker do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thinker do.